This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. It's the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go and get all the information you need to know. And, of course, last night, I think, Scott, we got all the information we need to know and then some. I kept having to pinch myself as Bill Clinton was, talking about his princess, as Newt Gingrich referred to her as.
Yeah, Bill painted, I believe another line that Gingrich had was, if she's really that way, I guess I'd vote for her.
Yeah. quite confusing. I mean, you know, some of that was charming. Of course, all the women, you saw they're, you know, this and that. And then every once in a while, you know, their heads would spin and they remember, you know, he was the guy that got impeached, you know, for, you know, fooling around with an intern. And of course, he's been a serial philanderer and all that. But, forget about that. You got to suspend reality. You know, when he talks about, well, here's the real Hillary and here's the one that's made up and you decide and suggesting she's the real one. And, you know, this comes from somebody, you have to suspend reality totally. I mean, even to the point of, you know, when he brought up the line about if there's any problem, you can drop her right in the middle of it. And you're going, wait a minute, here's some people, surviving people from Benghazi. And, they're not tracking with you here on this one.
Yeah, I also liked his line about, she opened my eyes to a whole new world of public service by private citizens.
Yes,
right.
Think about the Clinton Foundation immediately
on
that? I did.
That's what I immediately thought of, and I was like, I bet she did. And the Money, Money, Money song came to mind. Money,
yeah,
money,
right.
Money.
Hey, well, let's hear the day two recap, huh? Well, see what the spokespeople had to say about that.
The Democrats have a stack. They're speaking lineup with big names from start to finish. Their task is to not only rally support behind Hillary Clinton, but to also help mend the divide within the Democratic Party, which last night made history. An enormous moment never before seen in American politics. First woman to win a major party presidential nomination. Hillary Clinton herself appearing over video thanking the roaring convention crowd.
We just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet.
It was her former rival, Bernie Sanders, who in a show of unity symbolically ended the roll call.
I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
Sanders speaking after an emotional appearance by his older brother, Larry, an American living in London, who tearfully cast the votes for Americans living abroad.
It is with enormous pride that I cast my vote for Bernie Sanders.
Day two of the convention packed with a lineup of speakers trying to mend the divide in the Democratic Party. Mothers who lost children in controversial police-involved deaths. Celebrities also rallying the crowd behind Hillary Clinton.
Nearly 100 years after women got the vote, you people have made history.
But the keynote came from the person who knows her best, her husband, the former president, delivering a spirited endorsement.
Hillary is uniquely qualified to seize the opportunities and reduce the risk we face. And she is still the best darn change maker I have ever known.
And it will be another one of Clinton's closest supporters, her daughter Chelsea, who will introduce her when she takes the stage tomorrow night.
I'll tell you, the history, I guess maybe, Scott, we know too much because, you look at Clinton Cash and you think change maker, like you say, money, money, money. And you're going, yeah, change from our pocket to her pocket, I guess, is the deal. And Dr. Sebastian Gorka also threw up a pretty good line last night. He says, with the Democrats, reality is optional. I don't know. It's you talk about the divide within the Democratic Party. it's the divide within this country as well. If we don't pursue the truth and we don't get connected to reality, our problems here in River City are going to continue. We've got more to talk about. Thanks for joining us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 after.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
If it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be an essence kind of thing about we the people, huh? Not top down. You know, look at these conventions and what we've been inundated with the last couple of weeks. They're I guess you just have to suspend reality. And that's what they would want us to do in order to be convinced, of their narrative. Well, here to straighten these things out, because he has the wisdom of the sages and the ages, the one and only Bruce Coffin, our official history guru. Of course, Bruce from Bruce's History Lessons, and award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Mr. Bruce, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing great, Bill. The conventions have been fascinating, in my opinion.
Yeah, they have. Well, today, just for fun here, before we get bogged down, I think there's some important things to note. I mean, did you know today is Bagpipe Appreciation Day?
I did not know that, Bill, and I usually know that kind of thing.
Well, I know you do. I know it just, you got so much information here. It's a wonder that your brain isn't constantly bruised, loaded down with all this stuff. But along with Bagpipe Appreciation, it's also National Creme Brulee Day.
Did not know that either.
Well, here it goes. And and the other one, I like this one too, Take Your Pants for a Walk Day.
I definitely did not know that one.
See, we need to know these things, because otherwise, we take things way too seriously. Well, of course, last night we can celebrate that our country did realize, the shattering of the glass ceiling, so to speak. First time ever a woman was nominated to the presidential candidacy by a major party. So congratulations to one Hillary Clinton, and I guess the United States of America for busting the ceiling, right?
Yeah, shattered the glass ceiling. I think in some ways it's also appropriate that it was in Philadelphia, where a couple other historic events occurred in this country, including the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the signing of the U.S. Constitution.
Well, here it is, day two. We wrapped up day two. Her husband, Bill Clinton, gave quite a rousing speech. You know, as Newt Gingrich said, this is the way he makes her sound. He says, I want to vote for her.
He did do a very nice job. He conveniently left out a couple of things, but he did a very nice job of saying that, I met this wonderful girl. She's my best friend and all of those things. Listen, Bill Clinton has always been a great speaker. He's been a great politician. He wasn't actually in many ways a bad president. His character was left something to be desired, but his presidency was, in my opinion, relatively successful. So The man knows politics, no question.
Yes. Yeah, and I think what people fail to forget, and even Hillary, I think, for that matter, is what made it work for him is he realized his point in history and the cards he was dealing with. And for a while there, he kind of went in the fetal position for a couple of months and had to reassess his position. And, of course, what followed was that grand announcement that the era of big government was over. And when he made that statement, what followed was a win-win, proposition and solutions for America. He worked with the Republicans and Newt Gingrich, and his legacy is in great, you know, because of, you know, greatly because of, you know, him working with Newt and the Republicans.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. In fact, the Welfare Reform Act, I thought, was probably one of the most, one of the great accomplishments of Clinton's presidency, and he worked with Gingrich on that. And that included a provision in which people on welfare, especially single mothers, would have to work in some capacity in order to continue to get benefits. The point being that, you know, you give them a sense of independence, a sense of self-worth. You give them a marketable skill. It was a wonderful piece of legislation, and it was because Bill was willing to compromise, as was Gingrich, and I consider that one of the stellar accomplishments of the Clinton presidency, without question. And by the way, President Obama gutted that Welfare Reform Act and took out the work requirement.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing that's amazing, is that here you are, you know, looking at President Obama. He seems to be, you know, very, very much concerned about his legacy and about the continuation of it, but he didn't think much about, you know, gutting. I was just going to say, you know, that, you know, key piece in the legislation, you know, requiring work that really, you know, allowed people at every level to dream big dreams again and to, you know, realize their human potential.
Absolutely, and restore their confidence and give them a marketable skill. Yeah. It was a win-win-win situation.
Well, here it is. I mean, this is where we sit today, and I think that, you know, where there's, you know, people are so frustrated in this country is they just want a job, Bruce. They want to work. You know, give them a fair opportunity to go out there and be successful. And this government, this big government that we have, has done everything they can to keep a lid on their potential. And so to speak, you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to see Hillary's America yet, but what Dinesh D'Souza presents is, you know, what we've been talking about, and that is that America has been subjected to a modern-day form of slavery.
Yeah. I have not seen it. I read him. He writes for National Review quite frequently, but I have not seen it yet. But I pretty much have a general idea of the contents of that. Yes, absolutely.
Well, he learned a lot when he was in jail, and he brings it out, and he, you know, applies a metaphorical concept. You know, he calls it the con. And what he learned from the cons there in prison, and you know, it's amazingly similar to what the politicians are thrusting on us, is that they have this con and they keep working it and keep lying. They never give up the con, as he says. And you know, when you look at it in that context, and you see our politicians and what's being, you know, thrust upon us, I mean, it's quite an indictment.
I'm sure it is, Bill. He writes about that quite often. Listen, you know, one of the interesting things that I found about the Republican convention, okay, the coverage of it was that Donald Trump's keynote speech was called dark. Okay, you can say that that was dark in a lot of ways, but it was also reality. And in fact, you could make the case that it wasn't actually as dark as what the country really is today.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, Donald Trump, I'm not, as we've talked about before, I'm not on board with the guy completely, but I do think that he's put his finger on a couple of the really big issues in this country, and one of them is that this country is no longer, in my opinion, sorry, Michelle Obama, as great as it used to be. And the reason for that is because of the liberal policies that we've been subjected to for the last 50, 60 years. And, you know, okay, Barack Obama, 8 years of Barack Obama presidency, 2% growth. Under Clinton, it was 4.5. Under Reagan, it was 5.5, 6. You know, this is you want a job in this country, 2% growth? It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. And that's one of the many problems that I have. And Donald Trump's speech, okay, I'm the law and order guy. Crime in this country had been going down statistically for years. It's been jumping recently. Why? Domestic terrorism, and because basically the relationship between the inner city blacks and the police forces in this country have deteriorated greatly. So when he says things are dark, okay, or they're called dark, I would somewhat agree with that. And let's remember one thing. That the America that Donald Trump talked about, if you're going to call it dark, it's actually not as dark as how the left portrays this country, which they portray America as a sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigoted country in which the only reason we go to war is to enrich the 1%. That's the left's perception of America. Donald Trump did not say anything that dark.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think Dr. Sebastian Gorka said it very well last night. He says, with the Democrats, you have to suspend reality. I got to write that down. That's really a perfect line. That's where we are right now. Bruce Kaufman is with us. More from Bruce.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Are you one of the millions of Americans who suffer from digestive issues like heartburn, acid reflux, IBS, and constipation? Probimune is your answer. Probimune is a brand new probiotic that has been scientifically proven to deliver high quantities of viable good bacteria to your gut to boost your digestive system and improve your overall health. This unique, powerful blend of probiotic strains, coupled with our industry-leading proprietary fermentation process, delivers a maximized bacterial colonization to the gut that no other probiotic can match. Start improving your health today. Visit younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off first-time orders. Maintaining digestive health is crucial to the body's overall well-being. Don't suffer from negative effects of poor digestion any longer. Order today. Younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
Bill Martinez live.
Tell me just what you want me to be.
Hey, welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We're talking with Bruce Kaufman, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Hey, Bruce, didn't you love that scene last night you know, the representation of breaking the glass ceiling. We revisited the Apple spot, 1984. Yeah. Everybody picked up on that. It went near viral, didn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely did. And it actually was pretty amusing, I have to admit.
Well, you know, and I think that, you know, we could celebrate. I mean, outside of the, you know, the political upheaval and the contention and, you know, however it is, you know, I think, you know, we can pause to celebrate that here it is. After all these years, we have, you know, the first woman nominated by a major party to the highest office in the land.
Yeah, and you know what? It's amazing how many women have actually run for president. You don't know about it, but my favorite of all is the first woman who ran for president. Her name was Gracie Allen. I don't know how many of your listeners remember the Burns and
George
Allen.
George Burns, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Gracie Allen was the kind of George Burns was the straight man. Gracie was the kind of ditzy blonde who evoked most of the laughs. In 1940, Gracie ran for president under the Surprise Party. Okay, so the Democrats as their mascot the donkey. The Republicans have the elephant. The Surprise Party's mascot was the kangaroo. And Gracie and her husband basically barnstormed in a train throughout the country, in which they pretty much reprised their stand-up comedy act, except that they put politics into it. But Gracie Allen was the first woman to run for president in 1940, and she actually got 42,000 votes for president of the United States. She's running against Roosevelt. She didn't win, but she is our first candidate for president in the United States of America, a comedian. I loved it.
Well, leave it for Gracie. Gosh, she was just so precious. And, you know, as we recall, for those of us who were around and remember and were blessed, you know, by the, TV sitcom that they presented for us. Gosh, it was some great television between her and George Burns and, you know, just gifted people that, you know, you could be thankful for vaudeville, you know?
Absolutely. Without just a doubt. To inject a note of levity here.
Yes. Well, we need that. I mean, because it's really, this is the thing that happens, and we have to, you know, I'm constantly talking, you know, about decompressing, because you can get engaged in this political deal, and you're watching this stuff, and, you know, you hear what Bill Clinton has to say about his wife, and it sounds so sweet and precious, and then you start remembering all these things that counter his presentation, and you go, oh, my gosh, you know. Yeah, you know, this is the world in which we live in. Is you know, as I said, the Dr. Gorkas is the Democrats want us to, you know, suspend reality. And dare I say, you know, that seems to go, you know, with the with politics these days. But, you know, as you and I were talking, you know, if Hillary gets elected and we talk about legacies and how President Obama is trying to protect his legacy. And it took me a while to really, you know, get on board with this. And why he's fighting, you know, for Hillary in such a way. And here, you know, we've got more releases of emails and, you know, the counter, everything that she already, you know, put out there that's, you know, on video. So we have it in her own words how, you know, she was, you know, not culpable whatsoever with these email scandals. And then you got Julian Assange releasing, you know, 23,000 emails. And he goes, this next round that he's got to dump. He said if Hillary doesn't get indicted after the next round, it just makes you wonder because, you know, it cost Debbie Wasserman Schultz this time around her position.
Yeah. To me, FBI Director Comey's logic in letting her off the hook makes no sense because essentially what he said, Bill, was, yeah, she was extremely careless in violating federal laws, by the way, but she didn't intend to. Now, if I'm driving down the road, okay, and all of a sudden I think, oh, I got a great idea for a history lesson, and I start to work out my opening, I start to work out my clothes, okay, and my mind is wandering now, I'm focused on this great idea for a history lesson, and I run a stop sign, and I hit a car, okay? Yeah. I didn't intend to run that stop sign, but I did, and I hit a car, and depending on the severity of the accident, I'm going to pay with a fine or even jail time. Okay,
exactly.
So Hillary did not intend to send out classified and top secret information, but she did it, and in this country, intention or unintention, in committing a crime, you still have to pay the price, and she did not.
Well, especially when you've been driving now most of your adult life versus somebody that just got their learner's permit, you know, and this is what you have. You have somebody who's an experienced politician. It's like, you know, she's had security clearance at various levels, and, you know, for her to violate this and somehow be given cover. I thought that, you know, it was like one of those things, you know, it was like a Justice Roberts thing, the way FBI Director Comey came down with this. It was like, okay, I'm going to let the people, if they really, you know, see this as a problem, we'll let them deal with it. We're just going to kick it down the road. and see what they, you know, see what they have to say. And unfortunately, as we know from experience, when laws are broken, no matter how subtle they are, it has its impact on the culture.
Yeah.
And what he put into motion, you know, we may not see it immediately, but we'll start to see it down the road where people think, okay, why, you know, at this point, what does it matter? What does the law matter? You know,
right.
Just like you said, hey, I wasn't intending to do this, you know, so why are you making a big deal, you know? But all this wraps into, Bruce, and what you and I were talking about off the air, about Victor Davis Hanson's article about the state of the world as it is today. Why don't you unwrap that for our audience, if you would?
Okay. Well, Victor Davis Hanson is one of the most astute political thinkers of all time. He wrote a column that I read in which the main point. Shouldn't we worry more about the state of the world as it is rather than how it might be under President Trump? Mm-hmm. Okay, because here's the state of the world as it is right now. We have no enforceable southern border. Okay, the Middle East is in chaos. We have ISIS on the run. We have...
ISIS is on the run, but they're running in the wrong direction.
They're on the run. I'm sorry, ISIS is on the move.
Yes.
And the Middle East is in chaos. As he says in the article, is there a region in the world safer, more stable than it was in 2008? Is Iraq more stable? Is Syria? Mm-hmm. Is Ukraine more stable? Is Libya? Is North Korea? Is France? Is Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Dallas, Texas, more stable than in 2008? Is there an ally of ours who feels more secure in their partnership with us than they were in 2008? Is Israel feeling more secure? Is Japan? Is France? No, none of those things. So Hansen's point is that, yes, under the potential world that Donald Trump, that we worry about because he can go off the handle, let's compare to the actual world we live in today. And I think, Bill, that this is why the Republicans, Paul Ryan and some of them, you know, we've been down on them for, swallowing their convictions and getting on the Trump train. They're thinking to themselves, we know what kind of presidency we're going to get under Hillary Clinton. As you just said, we're going to get the Obama presidency on steroids.
Exactly.
What they're saying is maybe, just maybe, since we're not 100% sure what the kind of president Donald Trump is going to be, maybe we can get the president of our own party, Donald Trump, to go along with some of our priority issues. It's a possibility. It's not a possibility at all with Hillary Clinton. So that, to me, is why, I mean, I'm not real happy about it, but I understand why they've swallowed their pride or whatever you want to call it and said, I think we've got a better chance of convincing Donald Trump to be the kind of president we want, and we know we've got no shot with Hillary.
Like in any situation, Bruce, if these are the cards you're dealt with, you do the best you can with the cards you got. And, you got somebody who is ideologically fixed, as we say, you know, she's going to, you know, continue on, with the Barack Obama principles and strategies and that sort of thing that, has just been an absolute killer. Just like you said, go around the world, look about this country domestically, where we are. And, the president and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats want us to suspend reality and say, okay, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe me or your lying eyes?
Yeah.
You know?
That's absolutely the case. So, again, Trump is, I'm not on board with the guy totally, but I kind of understand the logic of the Republicans. And I certainly thought Victor Davis Hanson did a wonderful job of comparing the world we might get under Donald Trump with the world that we can absolutely have right now and will get with Hillary.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that, that's pretty clear. I think if Hillary is to get elected, Bruce, she's going to bring back and echo the words in the opposite direction of what her husband said. If her husband said the era of big government is over, she's going to say the era of big government is born again. Let's bring it on. Bruce Kaufman has been with us, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Bruce, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you, buddy.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, well, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less
than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez, and our next guest is quite a fascinating guest, and we're going to talk about Bill Nye's visit to the Ark Encounter and a scientific case for the biblical flood account. And with us right now is Dr. Troy Lawrence. He's the author of Origins, The Origin of Matter, Space, Time, and Life. And it can be purchased at his website at creationministry.org. Dr. Lawrence, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Hey, no, the honor is ours, Dr. Lawrence. I mean, to talk about this issue, and, of course, you're involved with the Ark Encounter, and, we've spoken and shared, what is going on with the Ark Encounter. But to bring our audience up to date as to what is happening, tell us, what's happening right now with the Ark Encounter and where we are. Because it just opened up, right?
Yes. So what's going on is there is a huge battle for whether the flood was a local flood or whether it was a global flood. Mm-hmm. Now, all those who adhere to the notion of macroevolution, and the uniformitarian theory, that is, the rate at which things occur today is the rate at which things occurred forever in the past. It's called the uniformitarian theory. When they adhere to those constructs, they have to reject that there was a global flood. And the reason they have to reject that there was a global flood is because the biblical account of a global flood, where the Bible directly says that every mountain under the heavens were covered, that all the mountains were covered in Genesis 7:10, and in Psalm 104, it says the entire earth was flooded. In 2 Peter 3:5, it says the entire earth was flooded. Well, then you have to reject that, because the biblical account answers why there's petroleum reservoirs, why there's coal mines, why there's fossils in each layer, why the layers of the crust of the earth is smooth and segregated and lacking meteorites and lacking so many different things. So it's a battle for truth, and the winner of this battle gets to have their notion be the prevailing teaching construct in academia. So it's a huge struggle for truth.
Right. Well, in it, what has added, I guess, some some focus on this was, as I mentioned, Bill Nye visited the Ark Encounter, and he basically said it's all a bunch of bunk. It's all wrong here.
That's correct. So one of the first arguments that has to be one of the first hurdles that has to be jumped over is there enough water on Earth to flood the Earth? Because if there's not enough water on the Earth, then this is all a moot point. Mm-hmm. So from a creationist point of view, is there enough water? And the answer is yes. If you took the mountains and the valleys of the Earth and smoothed them out, then there is enough water to cover the entire Earth by 1.5 miles. Miles, mm-hmm. not inches. So can you present that argument? Can you say, hey, Mount Everest was not as tall today as it once was? Well, from a scriptural point of view, Psalm 104 makes it quite clear in verses 6 through 9. It says that during the flood that God caused the mountains to rise and the valleys to sink down. That's faster tectonic plate movement. And that's how it's explained why every mountain has fossils on it. Because every mountain was covered by water. So the answer is there enough water on Earth to cover it in a global flood? Yes, absolutely, by a long shot, 1.5 miles worth.
Well, Dr. Lawrence, doesn't the Bible talk about the streams of water being released from underneath the Earth? So though these waters, you know, traditionally we think of the ocean waters, that God set the boundaries and separated the seas from the landmass, but yet the Bible says, but don't get carried away here. There's still water underneath the land, and God caused that water to be released from under the land as well. So does that come into any kind of consideration here?
It absolutely does. Today, we can look under the crust of the earth and see reservoirs of water. Today, we can look at natural geysers and see hot vents of steam of water pouring forth. We can look across the globe and see fault lines, tectonic plate movements. So Dr. Walter Brown has postulated a wonderful theory called tectonic plate hydroplaning, that when the global flood occurred, tectonic plates prior to the global flood, from creation until the flood, were storing potential energy. In other words, the plates wanted to move, but there was too much friction. They were held in place. And that built up potential energy, which seismologists will tell you today that as tectonic plates build up potential energy, when they are released, it's greater kinetic energy, faster and larger movements on the flip side. In other words, the longer the wait between earthquakes and movements of tectonic plates, the greater the effect. So we can look and see remnants of the deep caverns that once existed and that helped form our oceans. So Genesis 7:11 gives some clues to what happened. It says the fountains of the deep burst. That's biblical terminology for violence. Now, a secularist will come in and say, whoa, you know, that much water bursting forth violently would be superheated and the earth would overheat. And that's actually a wonderful argument, and it's a welcomed argument, because we need heat, hot water, to explain how the layers of the crust were, when they settled from the flood, that they were able to move by tectonic plates. And we have bent layers that then hardened into rock, bent layers that were malleable, that were smooth, and you need hot water near volcanic with the acidity to then form from sodium bicarbonate to form chalk and limestone and marble, depending on different pressures. Mm-hmm. So we need the heat. So how does a creationist get around, well, the entire Earth wasn't vaporized? Well, this is explained by huge chunks of ice that came down from waters above and landed in the polar regions. And we discern this by, in the Arctic Circle, there are fully grown and developed woolly mammoths standing in the upright position as though they were instantaneously frozen.
Exactly.
And in their digestive tracts is tropical vegetation that was undigested, as though they were instantaneously frozen by super cold. So that buffered the high heat of the deep caverns bursting forth through fault lines in the global flood.
Well, you know, there is a rhyme and reason and a purpose for everything under the sun. But if you want to negate the Creator God, then you lose sense and connectivity of what the grand purpose was all about, don't you?
You sure do, because once you discount the global flood and you say, oh, no, when the Bible says everything living on the earth died outside the ark, when it says every mountain was covered by 15 cubits, which is about 22 and a half feet, according to our human height now, when you discount those things, then you're less likely to read the Bible because you're thinking, well, it's riddled with errors. And you're less likely to share the Bible because who wants to go to an atheist and say, hey, believe in my all-powerful God, though he wrote errors in the Genesis flood account, because
exactly.
It was a local flood. But just look at it from logically point of view.
Well, God, we only got about 15 seconds left here, Dr. Lawrence, so... Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. I apologize. We only got about 15 seconds left in this segment, but we've got more opportunity to talk on the other side of the break, so stay with us. We'll pick it up from there. Dr. Troy Lawrence is with us, and we're talking about the Ark Encounter on Bill Martinez Live.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
This report is brought to you by the Astellas Oncology C3 Prize. According to a study published in Lancet Oncology, by 2030 there are expected to be more than 22 million cancer cases worldwide. As the medical community develops innovative treatments, the need for new tools that may help those facing cancer today is critical. The Astellas Oncology C3 Prize, seeking non-treatment ideas to improve cancer care, will award $100,000 in grants and a chance to present at Stanford University's Medicine X to Shark Tank's Robert Hershevek. Mark Reisenauer, Senior VP Oncology at Astellas.
As a caregiver for my father, who recently passed away from cancer, I understand the needs and challenges faced by patients and caregivers. That's why we created the C3 Prize, and we look forward to the innovations discovered through this program.
Applications for the C3 Prize close at midnight Central Time, August 8th. Submit your ideas and see full challenge rules at c3prize.com. Void where prohibited and no purchase necessary.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hello, mercy, I have been searching for you lately.
Bill Martinez.
Can you hold me together? Can your love reach down this far? Can you hold me together? Cause without you holding my heart, I'm falling.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Live.
Hey, it's about your opinions, but it's also about the experts that we bring on to give us the facts as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads, because it is that important, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's another show like ours that is committed and gives you these kind of experts and this kind of information just for you. 14 minutes right now before the top of the hour. Our conversation with Dr. Troy Lawrence continues. Dr. Lawrence, before we pick up where we left off, before we had to go to break here, I do want to talk a little bit about the ARC encounter. Can you give us an update? We spoke with Dr. Ken Ham a while back, and it was before the actual opening of the ARC encounter. Can you tell us and give us a real quick update?
The update is that it's open. It's a functional park, mm-hmm. And it illustrates that a boat of that size can be built. The ARC didn't have sails. The ARC was a barge. It was a survival boat. It was not meant to travel the world. It was meant to survive a global flood.
Mm-hmm.
When looking at the notion of the global flood from a biblical perspective, you can look at it logically, where God says to Noah, hey, in 120 years, I'm going to flood the earth, build an ark, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Noah, you know, could have said, hey, God, I don't really want to build something that big. Can I just migrate to another region, another continent? I can be there in 6 months. So from a logical point of view, it holds up to a global flood. But from a scientific point of view, and that's what's really important, is that what we can tell in amber, air bubbles in amber, which is petrified tree sap, and air bubbles in glacier core samples, that the oxygen concentration in past millennia was 50% higher than today. Wow. It was a 30% oxygen concentration back then. How do you get to a higher concentration? You need more vegetation. Mm-hmm. Right now, the oceans, polar ice caps, and the deserts limit vegetation growth. They limit oxygen production. As a matter of fact, this is really important. Geologist Peter Dave McConnell of the Earth Institute of Columbia University did a core sample study of the Atlantic Ocean just off the Sahara Desert, because he was noticing the Sahara Desert blowing sand into the Atlantic Ocean. So he did core samples to determine how long the Sahara Desert has been there. And he discerned by counting the layers that it's relatively young, that it's only about 5,000 years old. Well, that's right close to the Noah flood. So even geological studies is in line with the deserts are young. Matter of fact, the river deltas, all rivers on Earth, not one river delta has more sediment deposits than 4,500 years. That is amazing evidence that they are all young.
I ask my students
when I'm talking to them on campus and asking them, I'll say, do you know how long it takes for a creature when it falls to the ground to decay to dust so that it can't be fossilized? And they'll say, no, well, years. And I'll say, yes, correct, years. So each time you see a fossil, it means it was covered quickly and not slowly as the slow deposit of layers over millions of years for each layer. No. It has to be covered quickly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the fossil won't form. And you need moisture.
Exactly.
Otherwise, the fossil won't form. So each fossil is a testimony that it was covered quickly, i.e. the global flood.
Exactly. Well, you know, what you're, you know, bringing up here when you talk about that there's less, less oxygen today, you're going to give people that are into, climate change a whole nother positional argument by introducing that. You know, they'll start chasing after that one next, right?
I'm sure. But God does promise that judgment is coming of fire. So, climate change is a whole nother topic, and the data is still coming in. Mankind, I don't think, is causing global warming. But when you look at a that's a whole nother topic.
I always say, Dr. Lawrence, is that God didn't know this was going to happen. I mean, like this caught him by surprise, a sovereign God who created all this. I picture this ironic conversation in heaven, like maybe he looks over to Peter and say, didn't you take care of that? I told you to take care of that, you know? It's laughable.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And more science that is in my book is Tyrannosaurus Rex and Triceratops, two different scientists, one a creationist, one an evolutionist, in different locations found soft tissue in those allegedly extinct animals that are 65 million years ago, they died off. Well, you can't have soft tissue survive that long, indicating that there was something recent that occurred, i.e. the global flood. And there's been other geologists that have found polystrata, that means poly means many, strata, the layers of the crust, polystrata petrified trees transcending through multiple layers. But you can't have that if the slow uniformitarian slowly covered the tree over millions of years. You can't have that. So a evolutionist would argue, hey, whoa, we know that it takes coal millions of years to form. Well, creationists would argue back, no, that's incorrect. We can make coal in months now. Mm-hmm. All you do is you take a little piece of wood, a little bit of clay, a little bit of water in a vacuum, like covered earth, sediment from the flood,
right,
and bake it near like a volcano. And in short order, you have coal that's indistinguishable from coal allegedly 20 million years old in the coal mine. So that argument's flawed. Well, then they can come back and say, well, oil preserves. We know that takes millions of years for the oil to slowly evolve and form. No. We can take, through distillation process of chicken byproducts, adipose, ligaments, tendons, and algae, and distill it in high heat, and we can get petroleum oil in 30 minutes. It's just not cost-effective right now to do it, but we still have those factories. So they can't argue an old Earth from coal or petroleum or fossils because they need to be covered quickly.
And part of the argument against energy is depleting our resources. And what you're saying is that in and of itself, by God's design, it is it's self-sustaining.
Amen. So
right?
One of the other arguments is someone can look at the tectonic plate movements today and say, hey, it's moving at a fingernail growth. So then we can divide by how long it's moved and get a duration of 220 million years for the tectonic plate movements. Well, this is flawed for one major reason. Tectonic plate movements can move fast at times. And so there's been many earthquakes that have occurred where plates have shifted 40 feet in seconds. So we know that tectonic plates can move fast. And so Dr. Walt Brown touched on this, that if with the deep caverns underneath the crust, the plates were hydroplaning and squishing out those deep caverns through fault lines, sending out the hot water to help flood the earth.
Well, Dr. Lawrence, I know some of our audience are probably saying, I didn't realize this was going to turn into a master's science class. We got about a minute and a half left here, and you've shared some great things with us. But let's sum up, you know, what is the big takeaway here that people should hold to, and also that they need to get their hands on your book, Origins, The Origin of Matter, Space, Time, and Life, that's available at creationministry.org. So sum it up. Give us, you know, two, 3 points that we should hold on to here.
The main point is that it's not science versus the Bible. In fact, science is an ally, and it's in harmony with Scripture. The whole point is that it's science and the Bible versus the opinions of evolutionary scientists. And we can illustrate that the dating methods are flawed. And so when they use the dating methods, they being the evolutionists, to purport their old Earth and evolutionary views, it's based on flawed pseudoscience. So this is a war on truth. And the Scriptures are divine and inerrant and infallible. And from that, we can discern the truth of God and know God through science.
And the challenge that we have here, Dr. Lawrence, like anything, when we pursue the truth, it does require some effort. It's not like it's just going to all pop in. But as you know, just even this morning, and we have a little bit more time. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong time here, but you know, as we're starting to see, as you look into this deeper, there is actual harmony, and it just you know, and for you probably you have these oh yeah moments and praise God moments where you go, this is not in conflict. But this is when you have to be careful when the Bill Nyes of the world come in and others that want to invalidate God, because that's really what it comes down to. Is if you invalidate God, then you're back to, you know, Darwin's theory, and which opened up this new theology that we end up, as the Book of Romans say, exchanging the truth for a lie.
That's correct. This is a battle of truth. And one can look at the polar ice caps, and if you're an evolutionist, you'll see the layers of the polar ice and say, oh, well, each one of those layers represents a year, so therefore there's 130,000 years just in the polar ice. Well, now, wait a minute. If you look at those layers as just different times of precipitation, where there was a warmer precipitation and a cooler precipitation, which is how things deposit in ice. They're not necessarily year rings like in a tree.
Right.
Well, then that explains why World War II Lost Squadron is buried around the 75,000 year mark in the Arctic Circle. So that debunks that. And one looks at the layers of the crust and they see that, oh, there's no erosion marks. The layers are smooth and segregated, and they're lacking meteorites. So that all indicates that it was occurred quick. We can go in a lab.
Exactly. Well, and we're out of time, but I would again invite everybody to get their hands on your book, Origins, The Origin of Matter, Space, Time, and Life. Dr. Lawrence, thank you so much. Boy, this has been a great lesson. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more. Stay right where you are.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today. Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are your Google search